book. Anybody need a book? I've got books up here. You need one? This off at 7 so that Pastor White can get some men to help move some tables and some chairs. That'll give us a good 15 minutes before the children are dismissed. And so if you can stay around and help, we'd appreciate your help. If you can't, we definitely understand that as well. All right, we're going to be in Ephesians tonight. It's going to be our jumping verse, where it's always been our jumping verse, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Y'all keep praying for me. I'm still trying to break this Bible in. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And we'll read verses 10 and 11 and 12. And then we're going to skip down to verse number 15. 10, 11, and 12. And then 15. And we're going to be picking up in your book on page. What page? The objections. Where does that start at? Common questions. Okay. We left off on, doesn't death end everything? Which number was that? Number 5. So page number 17 is where we're going to be at. Page number 17 in your books. But if you found your place, Ephesians chapter 6, go ahead and stand with me. And we're going to read that scripture there. And then start talking about the objections again. By the way, how many of you have witnessed to somebody and they gave you an objection? Sure, it won't be the last time. There will be more. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Let's go ahead and stand if you would. And we're going to read 10 through 12. There, my water. I'm going to need you to brainstorm with me as well from some of the objections that you've heard. 6 through 10 through 12. And then we're going to come down to verse number 15. So let's read those together. Ephesians 6, 10. Here we go. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then come down to verse number 15. He says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Father, bless now the moments that we have together tonight. We may learn how to answer objections when people come to us, Lord, and they just have a problem with what we're saying. Lord, help us to know how to avoid getting into a dispute with them, but still giving them the gospel. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right, dealing with objections. By the way, the Bible says there, a part of our armor is having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Again, that is just being prepared to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen? Now, just think about it. If somebody came in right now and said, can somebody tell me about Jesus, who would be the first one to tell them? Jeremiah said he would. Amen. If they just walked in and said, I want to know how to get saved, so can somebody help me? How many of y'all would just jump at the chance? I know I would. I mean, I'd probably have to fight you off, amen? That excites me to be able to lead somebody to Christ, amen? Now, that same person comes in and has a bunch of objections. Now, and you know they have objections. Now, who's going to be ready to talk to them? Elijah said, I would, amen? Now, confrontation is not easy for everybody. Amen? If you know somebody's going to have a confronting spirit, oftentimes you don't want to confront them. Now, they're going to be an easy walker. I mean, when they just come in and they just, oh, what must I do to be saved, like the Philippian jailer? Amen. Bring them on. But people that have a confronting spirit, Jeremiah, you know, sometimes they can be just downright tough. Amen. And sometimes I'm being, you know, honest. Sometimes you want to just sock them or step on their toe or something. You know, it's unspiritual. You know, you can't do it. But it doesn't take away the feeling that you want to do it sometimes. Amen. And so there are some people that will drive you to that. Now, I've got some questions to ask you and brainstorm with me. What are some things that you want to avoid when you're handling objections, talking to somebody? Because, again, the Bible says, and have your feet shod or covered, prepared with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we should be prepared to share the gospel. But now in my sharing, somebody comes and they have an objection. What are some things that I really want to avoid in dealing with objections? Jesse? Don't be argumentative. That is number three on my list. Amen. What else? Jenny? Don't take it personally. I didn't put that one down, but I probably should. By the way, Jesus said they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting who? That's right. And let's be honest. Don't we feel like they're rejecting us? Yeah. We do. And why? Because they're talking to us. Amen. And, you know, it'd be a different thing if they were talking in the third person. Amen. they're talking to us. Amen. Don't take it personal. What's another thing that you want to avoid in handling objections? Jenny? That's one of the last ones on my list as well. Amen. Now, by the way, on that note, if they are in error, and you know they are, and as Jenny said, we can't tell them they're wrong, how do we answer? Because we can't tell them they're right. Jeremiah? Speak the truth in love. That's one thing. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Have them read it as well. Amen. Because now if they are in error and you can show them that what they're saying is not true in the Bible, guess who's speaking it? God is speaking it to them and they're actually reading it. By the way, the young lady that Cameron Pruitt was burdened about that came on Sunday. She got me at the door and he had warned me about her already. She has a lot of different things that she's believing in, but not the gospel. And so she said, now, young man, there's many rooms in a house. You need to visit more rooms. And everything in me wanted to tell her, if I was preaching on the house, then I would, amen. But I'm not preaching on how I'm preaching on the gospel and how to get you to heaven, amen. And I just smiled at it. I said, ma'am, I hope you can come back one day. She left me and went to my wife, and my wife and said, ma'am, if you were to die, you sure you go to heaven? She said, oh, yes. And then my wife said, well, what do you base that on? And she said, oh, I believe this was all man's human wisdom. And you know, my wife said, well, ma'am, let me show you in the Bible. She said, oh, I don't believe the Bible. But you're going to God's heaven. And God's heaven is only in God's Bible. And then she said, I don't believe in hell either. But now you don't believe in God's Bible and you don't believe in God's hell. But you're going to heaven that God's Bible talks about. And she said, oh, I'm okay. I'm 85 years old. I lived a long time. And my belief is good enough for me. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And she would not give us edgewise. And my wife talked to her, and Cameron Pruitt, he texted me back. He said, please don't give up on her. He said, I've been trying to get her saved for years. He said, ever since I got saved, I've been trying and trying. He said, I was weeping and weeping at her feet, you know, telling her and pleading with her to get saved. She said, she's just so hard. He said, I believe she'll come to church if you'll pick her up. So when she comes, who's going to deal with her? Sam said he would, amen. She's bound to come back. If she doesn't come back, Cameron wants us to go visit her. So somebody's got to go visit her in her house. Now, and she didn't want to give me and Ms. Dawson a time of day. Now, we know she's lost. We know she's wrong. She believes she's right. You know, the only thing that's going to get to her? The Word of God. None of my arguments is going to touch her. None of my telling her she's wrong is going to touch her. She needs the blessed Word of God. Amen. So that's a good point. One of the things that I've learned, other than straight away going to the scriptures, if somebody is wrong and you know they're wrong, I've learned to pick this up. I say, that's interesting. I haven't told them yes. I haven't told them no. I just said, that's interesting. That's interesting. Now, what does that do? That gives me time to plan my strategy. Strategy. I watch too many cartoons. Amen. Listen to Bugs Bunny. Amen. So now it gives me a chance to plan what I'm going to say to her or him or her. Because now I say, that's interesting. Or, you know, that's an interesting point. And then you begin to depend on the Holy Spirit to give you what you need out of the Word of God to come back on them. What's something else that you want to do in the event that You get objections. I got, don't argue. Don't take it personal. Don't agree with them in error. Don't tell them they're wrong. Amen. What's something else? And then dealing with objections. One that is very common. Don't be rude or mean. It's so easy if they say, I don't want to hear that. Get that out of here. It's so easy to say, well, I don't hope you go, fall and trip and break your neck. You can't say stuff like that. I mean, Gary, you would never say that, would you? Good. Amen. What else don't you want to do when you're when you're dealing with objections? There's a very obvious one is what that you don't want to do. Teresa? Don't want to get caught up in religion, and you don't want to use man's wisdom or philosophy. Don't fight them on their turf. Keep in mind, the preaching of the gospel is to them that perish what? Foolishness. So they're not going to understand. Don't expect them to understand. The only thing they're going to understand is the gospel. When I was Bert Dunn was dealing with me for 2.5 hours, I couldn't understand anything he was saying. The only thing I understood was I'm dying, I'm on my way to hell, and I'm trying to come up with every excuse why I shouldn't go. And anything in the Bible that he would have used, it made no sense to me at all. The only thing that made sense to me was I'm a sinner, I'm dying, I'm on my way to hell, and I don't want to go. I didn't understand the deep things of God. So they're not going to understand. So don't expect them to understand. And so you don't want to resort to man's wisdom, and you don't want to resort to religion, because guess what? Their religion. Now, hear me now. Their religion is just as good as your religion. You know what I'm talking about? Their religion, because it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. The righteousness of their religion. Well, I tried being a Baptist. Well, I don't want you to try being a Baptist. Being a Baptist is not going to get you to heaven. Well, they say, John the Baptist was a Baptist. So John the Baptist ain't going to get you to heaven either. Amen. And so you want to avoid religion or arguing with them about man's wisdom, because it's not going to get you anywhere. Amen. What's another thing to avoid when you're dealing with objections? Avoid man's wisdom, man's philosophy. Avoid being rude. There's another one that you don't want to do either. They say I'm Catholic, or I'm Baptist, or I'm Islam. What don't you want to do? Joe? Bad mouth their religion. You don't want to encourage it, but you can't bad mouth it either. If you bad mouth it, they will defend it tooth and nail. That's like talking about somebody's mama. Amen. They will sit there and defend their religion, and they will go toe to toe with you. So you never want to bad mouth their religion. What you do is you go straight to Jesus Christ. And you say, you know what? Let's not talk about Islam. Let's not talk about Baptists. Let's not talk about Catholicism. Let's not talk about Anglican. Let's just talk about Jesus. Who was he? And what did he come to do? Don't talk about religion at all. Amen. It gets you in trouble. So you don't want to belittle their beliefs. I remember dealing with my boss. And I had just gotten saved. I was a new Christian. Pastor White, you heard this story before. And my boss, he wanted to impress me so much. And he said, I prayed and thanked God for the rain, and he sent rain. And I looked at him. I said, God don't hear your prayers, man. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God don't hear me. I said, he don't even hear you. Oh, why did I say that? I just cut him to shreds. I mean, he went to the Catholic Mass. I don't know where he went, but I told him, I said, God didn't hear you, man. You need to get saved. Praise God that God smiled on my ignorance. My boss got saved about a month later. And he told me, he said, I was about to railroad your career. He said, because that hurt me so bad. He said, I was just trying to make conversation and let you know that I'm spiritual too. And I'm sitting there listening to this like, yikes. I was almost getting kicked out of the military over something I said. I mean, by the way, he was my boss, so he had the power of the pen. And he could have wrote up some stuff. The Lord knows I wasn't the best worker. Wasn't the worst one either, amen. I wasn't the best one. He could have found some stuff, amen. So those are some things that you want to take into consideration. Don't be rude. Don't use man's philosophy. Don't get into religion. Don't use philosophy. Don't argue. Don't take it personal. Don't belittle their beliefs. Don't agree with them in error. Say something else. Go back to the Bible, amen. And this is one thing you want to avoid as well. Avoid not using the Bible. Sometimes we don't want to use the Bible. You got to use it. You got to use it. That is the only thing that's going to save them. Your words aren't going to save them. Somebody, well, if I bring out the Bible, I'm going to offend them. If you don't bring out the Bible, they may go to hell. Amen. You know, and by the way, that's what memorizing scripture does. You don't have to bring the Bible out if you memorize scripture. Amen. I used to witness to my coworkers all the time from memory. And I would quote things to them. I wouldn't tell them it's chapter and verse, but I would just quote stuff to them. And they had no clue that I was quoting Bible to them. And their hearts were getting riddled. I mean, just absolutely riddled. You know, I'd say stuff like, you know, they say that, well, smoking is a sin. And I say, well, yeah. I say, the wages of sin is death. I mean, I didn't even say chapter and verse. They just said, boy, smoking is sin. I said, wages of sin is death. I mean, just quick stuff like that. Amen. And so keep that in mind. Let's answer a couple of these objectives. Go back to page 17. And now we're going to go over these here river quickly. And then we're going to be done for the night. Okay, you're on page 17. We left off with number 5. And again, these are objections. And if you didn't get those, Roman number 2, dealing with common questions. A, common objections. Number 1, I have always been a Christian. There's some verses there. 2, I've asked God to forgive me many times. We talked about that last week. 3, this is too simple. I need to do something to earn it. 4, I'm good enough. I'm not a very bad sinner. 5, doesn't death end everything? How do we know there is a real heaven and hell? Amen. Hebrews 9:27 says, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. What if someone says this? Well, I don't believe in that. How do we know there's a real heaven, there's a real hell? And you can easily just say this. Let's just think about that for a minute. God said that the day that Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they was going to die. Have you known anybody that has died? Guess what they got to say? Yes. You ask them to go to the cemetery. Who's at the cemetery normally? Dead people. You ask them from the beginning of time and all the cemeteries, who's in there? Dead people. And you ask them, are you going to die one day? Guess what they have to say? Yes, unless the rapture comes. And so we can easily validate the Bible because he says the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. But it also says, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so I've got both on one end, death, it's appointed man wants to die. But then I've got heaven. And by the way, you pose them a question. And when people commit crimes, what happens to them? They have to stand what? Judgment. Anybody that commits a crime must stand judgment. And what is crime? Sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. And so my judgment or my payment for my crime is death. Everybody's going to die one day and they got to pay the piper. And so you take them there as a point of man wants to die, but then the judgment. Go over to Luke chapter 16 is the other verse that they list there. Luke 16. This is a rich man and Lazarus. Luke chapter 16. And by the way, this is one of the best pictures you can get of hell. Luke 16. That's actually dealing with someone that's actually a vivid description. Luke 16. And Luke 16, what did they list there? Verse 22, what did they pick us up at? 22, yes, Luke 16, 22. Pick it up at 16, 22. Notice what it says here. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. By the way, did the rich man go to hell because he was rich? No. Did Lazarus go to heaven because he was poor? No. Lazarus went to heaven because Lazarus was trusting in the Lord. The rich man went to hell because he was not trusting in the Lord. Okay? It says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am, notice the word, tormented in this flame. So there's a good word. I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime. And then you can apply that to the people that say it's annihilation. Once you die, you just cease to exist. But what did Abraham say? Son, remember, I got a mind. I can remember. He said, remember, in thy lifetime, thou receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. You can remember your life, you can remember his life. But now he is comforted, and thou art, what's that word? Tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. So he's actually trying to be a missionary now. Warn them that they don't come into this place of torment, because I don't want them to come and feel what I'm feeling. So it is a real place. By the way, they can say all they want to. They don't believe the Bible. Guess what? It's still true. I can say all I want to. I don't believe in oxygen because I can't see it. Guess what? I need it. Stop breathing oxygen and see what happens to you. Amen. So that one says that, hey, you know, death ends everything. Notice the next one down there. I don't want to give up my friends, give up my lifestyle or my friends. Well, I don't want to give up my lifestyle, my friends. By the way, let's just be real. Who wanted to give up their lifestyle when they got saved? Nobody. I didn't want to give up my lifestyle when I got saved. That was not on my mind. Oh, I really want to give up my lifestyle. You know what I said? I really don't want to go to hell. I really don't want to go to hell. So it wasn't that I wanted to give up my lifestyle so much. I saw that my present condition and my present state was sending me to hell. And I said, look, this road that I'm on is leading me to hell. And it's not so much that I want to give it up, but guess what? If I keep it, I'm going to hell. And I see a better way this way. And so I'm going back this way. And by the way, when you get saved, God gives you a new heart. And you don't want that way anymore. Amen. It took me 2.5 hours because I thought, I cannot live the Christian life. I can't. And by the way, you can't. I can't. And I couldn't fathom that. Now, I mean, you're talking to a guy that had drank from 1988 when I came to Belgium until every day in 1991 and most times blacking out. That's a long time. 1988 to 1991, I drank every single solitary day, all the time till I blacked out. And my mind could not fathom not drinking from today on. But I knew if I got saved, I wasn't supposed to. And so I said, I can't get saved because I can't imagine life like this. But the Holy Spirit said, but if you don't, you're going to go to hell. And I said, I don't want that. And so I'm going to let God take care of the rest of that. I'm just going to get saved. Amen. And praise God, he did. And so notice the verse there. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Then John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen. And I like Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Then number seven, I think as long as I'm sincere in what I believe, that's all that matters. And there's the famous verse down there, Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Then you got John 3:36, which is another good one. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The best one, though, is the next two that follow. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am what way? The way. What truth? The truth. And what kind of life? The life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man means no man. By the way, that excludes Muhammad. That excludes Buddha. That excludes the Pope. That puts them all out. But then now notice verse Acts 4:12. Neither is the salvation in any other. Now, if it says there's neither salvation in any other, what does that mean? There's nobody else that can provide salvation. Neither is the salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be what? Saved. You can't get any more definitive than that. Jesus Christ is the only way. Then 1 John 5:12 just seals the deal. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And when I'm dealing with people and witnessing to people, I'll point down like a middle of the road here. And I say, what that does, that puts all of humanity on one side or the other. You either have the Son and you have life, or if you don't have the Son and you don't have life. There is no middle ground. That's like some lady saying, well, I'm halfway pregnant. I'm halfway pregnant? What does that mean? No, I'm either pregnant or I'm not. I'm either born or I'm not. I'm either saved or I'm not. And so that verse, 1 John 5:12, puts it right down the middle. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And I normally ask people right there on the spot, Which one of those are you right now? Are you having the son? And if they say yes, what do you think the next question is that I ask them? If they say yes, they have the son, what's the next question I ask them? When'd you get him? When'd you get him? What'd you do to get him? And normally they'll say, ah, blah, 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 blah. They don't have an answer, amen? Amen. So those are some objections, and I'm going to read you several off real quick, and then we're going to quit. We're not going to go over the rest of that part there, the deity of Christ, but it's there. Let's fill those in for you there. B is the deity of Christ. Deity of Christ. Page 20, number one, his deity is shown through his names. Did I give you all those last week? I did? Okay. Two, his deity is shown through his works. Three, his deity is shown through worship. Then page 22, his deity is shown through his attributes. Those are all there to help you. Five, his deity is shown through his resurrection. And then next week we'll pick it up on page number 24 with the objections. But let me read some other common objections that you probably want to have an idea about these very, very quickly. Listen to these real quick as I read them off. Because more objections to be aware of. First Peter says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready, always give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of hope that's in you with meekness and fear. How do I know the Bible is true is an objection. I cannot see God is another one. I cannot understand everything about the Bible. Why would a loving God send a soul to hell forever? There's no such thing as sin. Everything is relative. I'm sincerely doing the best that I can. These are all common objections. I can make it to heaven by my good works. Doesn't salvation by faith sound too easy? Why is Christianity the only way to God? All religions are the same. By the way, that's an amen. Yes, they are. Amen. I cannot feel I need to accept Christ. I need to see a sign before I can believe. I'm too busy. I still have time to believe in Christ. I have parental or family that objects to that. I cannot hold out, or I'm afraid I will fail if I try. That was mine. There is too much to give up. Amen. There was another one of mine. The Christian life is too hard. My heart is too hard. I am too great a sinner. I must become better before I can believe in Christ. That was another one of mine. Why do the lost find it hard to believe in God? How about those who have never heard of Christ? Who made God? That's a good one. I am a free thinker, or I am an atheist. Here's another one. Why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? These are all objections to get them off the track. How about those Christians who are hypocritical? That's another one of mine. Amen. Why are there so many denominations? Why are there so many denominations? Because Satan is good at what he does. Amen. Why are Christians constantly bothering others about their faith? What happens to babies and little children when they die? You know, and you say, you know, let's talk about that in a minute, but let me talk about you when you die. Amen. What happens? Oh, here we go. Why does God allow Satan, sin, and suffering to exist? I've tried Christianity and I failed. Why should the wicked who repented at the last moment go to heaven while the righteous who refused to accept Jesus Christ end up in hell? These are all objections, folks. Since a Christian's sins have been paid for, past, present, and future, does that mean he can continue in his sins? Amen. Why does Paul teach salvation by faith while James seems to teach salvation by works? Don't they contradict each other? What about karma, rebirth, and nirvana? What about the new age? What about crystals? Can God make a stone so heavy that he cannot pick it up? Really? What about astrology, necromancy, paranormal activities, UFOs, extraterrestrial beings? Where does the Bible show that Christ is God? How about the Trinity? Can you explain that? What about evolution? These are all objections. Man, I tell you. Now, hopefully you can answer some of those. Amen. And I'm going to read you something next week that's going to help you out with some deferment when people ask you, get into objections. And it may not work for you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I got a chuckle out of it. It kind of made me laugh. I don't think it'll work for me and my personality, but it might work for you. And so I'll read that for you next week and see if that... something that you might say, yeah, okay, I can try that. Amen. But we're going to do this. We're going to get dismissed, though. Again, make sure that we are ready to handle objections. People are going to object to the gospel. They don't want to be saved. They do want to be saved, but the devil has them blinded. And so we have to make sure that we understand we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. They are going to object. Our job is to find a way to get the gospel to them, because our words will not save them, but God's word will. Amen. And that's why it's so imperative to use the Word of God. All right. Well, let's go ahead and be dismissed. Pastor White, go ahead and give us some instructions before we get dismissed and let us know what needs to happen. And the kids will be getting out here in about 12 minutes.